There are a great many possibilities where a meditation session is concerned. I believe it's true that each individual ultimately creates his or her own style. So, the intention of this session is simply to guide you through the structure, the choreography, you might say, of a fundamental meditation session. In this session, I will be presenting the style of meditation said to be the way of Shakyamuni Buddha himself. It was organized into something of a system way back in the 5th century by the great Buddhist philosopher Buddhaghosa, whose name means voice of Buddha. He gave it the name Vipassana, and by that name as well as others, it has strongly influenced meditation practice ever since. In modern times, this school of meditation is commonly referred to as mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness is an excellent word. It really is the key word here. Total awareness of the reality of the present moment. Not thinking, just being aware. There are 4 parts to the progression of a meditation session. Right posture, right breathing, relaxing the body, and finally, of course, stilling the mind. We begin with right posture. But remember, the entire meditation session is an exercise in mindfulness. Right posture, for our purposes, means a sitting posture, whether that be the iconic cross-legged lotus posture, or using a Japanese seiza bench, that's one with the slightly tilted seat, or sitting in a chair. Whatever it may be, a few things are considered essential. First of all, you must be well grounded, that is, sitting comfortably with good balance, not really needing to move around much. For good breathing, the back must be upright and straight, not tense though. If you need a lumbar support, use it. After you have established right posture, it's good to take a minute to settle in, take stock of yourself, physically, mentally, just as you are, right at the moment. Okay, let's move on to right breathing. Be aware of that part of your body directly beneath the rib cage, the abdomen, the belly. Let's just call it the stomach. On in-breaths, let the stomach puff outward as much as it wants. Don't try to restrain it. Let's see how that feels. Be aware of your nostrils. Can you relax them? I'll bet you can. Oddly enough, we almost always keep a little tension in the nostrils, though it doesn't seem to serve any good purpose. Relax the nostrils and feel the air as you breathe in. Cool at first. Up through the nose, down through the throat, into the lungs. Allowing the lungs to fill, and of course, the stomach, the abdomen puffing out as you do. Hold that for a moment or two, and then simply relax and let the air flow back out. This is known as abdominal breathing, or diaphragmatic breathing. It's actually the natural way to breathe. You can check it out by watching any sleeping baby lying on its back. Just as right posture is necessary for right breathing is necessary for relaxing the body, and relaxing the body is necessary for stilling the mind. In learning to genuinely relax the whole body, at first it's a good idea to see its natural organization. And remember, the act of relaxing is done on the out-breath. It's as if the in-breath kind of sets things up, and then the tension flows out with the out-breath. We'll start at the top and work our way down, beginning then with the face. Relaxing the face, which holds a lot of tension in many strange ways. I guess we all have an idea of what we look like and hold the muscles of the face in that way without even knowing it. Relax the eyebrows. With the eyelids closed gently, lift the eyebrows as high as you can, way up. And then as you slowly lower the eyebrows, allow the eyeballs to sort of roll back the way they do when you sleep. This sets up a flow, a wave of relaxation, which carries forward down across the entire face, the cheeks, the nose, the nostrils, the lips, the tongue. Allow the tongue to just loll in the lower jaw. And be aware of your jaw and how it curves around and moves backward up to the ears and then down into the neck along the very, very strong muscles, the trapezius muscles, that flow down the back of the neck and then slope out onto the shoulders. As you are aware of that, be aware of relaxing, feeling that those muscles relax and that flow moving out over the shoulders, the shoulder joints, and down into the arms. Both arms, but first let's look at the left arm. Relax the upper arm. And as you do that with mindfulness, you may actually feel a sort of tingling sensation. And the lower arm, the hand, and the fingers. Now the right arm, the upper arm, the lower arm, hand, and fingers. Let's now put it all together, relaxing the face, letting that flow down all the way to the jaw, back to the ears, down into the neck, following the trapezius muscles out across the shoulders, and down into the arms, hands, and fingers. That particular set of bones and muscles is known as the shoulder girdle, and it is from the shoulder girdle that the arms emerge. Now, if you're not sure what I mean by shoulder girdle, do the Hulk posture in front of a mirror, the Hulk, and I think you'll see clearly what it is. And it starts there at the very, very top of the spinal column, which is the axis of the body. And the next set begins there, and down the spine to the area right between the shoulder blades. A little hard to feel that, but by concentrating, you can. It's the spot on the spine, right in line with the heart. In fact, in Kundalini Yoga, that spot is known as Anahata, the heart chakra. And in that teaching, it is believed that that is the center that controls the whole upper torso, the rib cage. So bringing your awareness down the spine to that spot, then be aware of the upper torso and breathe the tension out. Relax that whole area, the rib cage, which is quite flexible. It moves in and out as you breathe. The rib cage protecting the lungs, which are protecting and actually embracing the heart. From the upper torso, allow that wave of relaxation to flow downward past the diaphragm into the lower torso, the organs of digestion, the pelvis. Be aware of your lower back. Relax the lower back and the hips, the hip joints, and down into the legs. The pelvis plays a role somewhat similar to the shoulder girdle, and it is from the pelvis that the legs emerge. Looking at the left leg first, relax the upper leg, a place where lots of tension is easily stored, the thigh muscles and the hamstring. Down past the knee into the lower leg, the calf muscle. In physiology, the calf muscle is known as the gastrocnemius, from the Greek, which means the knee's belly. does sort of look that way. And on into the foot and the toes. And then the right leg. Upper leg. Lower leg. Gastrocnemius. Foot. Toe. And now let's put all of that part back together again. Relaxing the upper torso, the rib cage, and letting that flow down into the lower torso, pelvis, the lower back, the hips, and on down into the legs, upper legs, lower legs, toes. Now that we've given some attention to some of the major parts of the body, the real object is to relax the whole body on out-breaths. Now, of course, from time to time, this or that part will tense up, and when you're aware of that, then temporarily you'd want to take your mindfulness right to that spot and breathe that tension away, and then return to the whole body. So let's go back to right abdominal breathing and reestablish good breathing. Remember that the relaxation is on the out-breath. The tension flows out with the out-breath. So beginning with the face and then just proceeding on through the whole body as we've done before here, try to relax everything with each out-breath. Now some people, a lot of people in fact, like to use a mantra for this part of the exercise. A mantra, such as Om or Rama, or a popular one in English, is simply let it go, which you would speak silently to yourself on the out-breath. As I say, some people like that. They find it helpful. Others don't. Give it a try and see how it works for you. The object being here, of course, to relax every bit of the body. And sometimes this is an end in itself. But that's too bad, because in this exercise, we're really working toward true Vipassana meditation, which is stilling the mind. But first, it's necessary to relax the body. When you feel that you have reached a point, for this particular time anyway, you've got it pretty much as far as you're going to go, then it's time to turn to something else, something we haven't talked about yet, and it's by far the most important part of the body. So be aware of your skull, and then turn your attention inward into the interior of the skull, where that most mysterious and wonderful of all things human resides, the human brain. The human brain, the organ of thought, the organ of consciousness. And what's more important than consciousness? Nothing. If it weren't for consciousness, we might as well be a tree or a rock. The heart of Vipassana meditation practice is to become totally mindful of consciousness, as it is at this moment. To passively experience the nature of consciousness, whatever that may be, as it is in the flow of the present moment. And when you begin to do this, the first thing you'll notice, the first thing you'll observe, really, is that normally consciousness ceaselessly flits about from one thing to another. Thoughts, images, memories, feelings. In India, where monkeys abound, it's called the monkey mind. The ordinary mind is called the monkey mind, or even better, the drunken monkey mind. An apt description. Just try to picture a monkey fluttering around in the branches. Seems to be what the mind is like a lot of the time. But it doesn't have to be that way. It wasn't that way originally when we were babies. We were very, very much conscious of reality as it is at the moment. Not only babies, but it would seem that other animals at rest are this way. And it is possible to restore that ability, and that's wonderful. Maybe not all the time, but certainly sometimes. Vipassana meditation practice, the relaxed observing of consciousness. No judgment, no reacting, certainly no going with this or that thought, just being aware. Now here too, and I say this is only true of some people, not everyone, at the beginning a mantra may be helpful. Here again, it could be Om or Rama or some other. If you like English, the term just this, said quietly on the out-breath, as you are observing consciousness. Just this. Nevertheless, you will slip away from time to time, going with a thought. That's inevitable. And when you notice that you've done that, you do want to return to the focusing on consciousness. But I suggest that just before you do that, you focus on one or two deep breaths, relaxing the whole body once again, then return to consciousness. Now, at first, this can be stressful. You might think, well, this isn't very relaxing. And that's understandable. You've had a whole life of drunken monkey activity, sort of. It's habit. Be patient. It's well worth it. One thing you might keep in mind is that it's like being out somewhere in the countryside beside a highway, and the cars are going by. The cars represent thoughts, images, distractions. But you will notice as one comes and then goes, another takes its place, but there's at least a little gap between them. And gradually, those gaps get longer and eventually even become the norm. It's in that gap that you will experience what I might call pure consciousness. It really can't be expressed in words, but it's a wonderful feeling of great peace, no role-playing, a sense of oneness. Some people describe this as getting in touch with the ground of your being, and eventually seeing that the ground of your being is the ground of all being. In Vipassana meditation, the ultimate goal, if you want to use that term, is achievement of the unitive state, where we actually experience the underlying oneness of all being. Okay, now let's give this stuff a try. At first you might ask, well, how long should a session be? How do I know when the time is up? It's pretty much a personal choice. I would recommend you start with, say, 10 minutes or so, and then gradually increase that to about 30 for a normal, more if you want. Sometimes meditation session is compared to going down to a diamond mine, and the great peace you feel is where the diamonds are. But it takes a while to get down to where the diamonds are. Is silence necessary? That, again, is a personal decision. Many people like natural sounds, such as a brook or the wind, that kind of thing, surf. And there are many things available. You might try to make your own. That's what I've done, and I think it's not hard to do, and you wouldn't want to run it necessarily for the whole session, but maybe during the relaxing part. So that's what we'll do right now, for about 5 minutes. Just give it a test, see what happens, and I will let you know when the 5-minute time period is up. Okay. And that's all we'll do for today.